Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back. It's time for quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with our good friend Eric Lammers, lead recruiting analyst for Penn State Rivals Network. Eric, this has become absolutely one of my favorite segments of the week. Great to have you here.
It's great to be back, Jim. It's one of my favorite parts of my week, having the ability to get on here and talk to you about Penn State recruiting, and they keep providing us with new news every week, so it makes it fun to get on here and talk, for sure.
Fantastic. Well, to find everything from Eric and everything else from Penn State Rivals that they have to offer, just go over to pennstate.rivals.com. And if you're interested in more from us at Keystone Sports, just load Keystone Sports from wherever you get your podcast. All right, Eric, the calendar has turned over to 2023. That means we're almost ready to welcome the early entries for the class of 2020. But before we do that, as you mentioned, they're giving us more news every week on the recruiting front. And Penn State got, just last week, I think it was on New Year's Eve, a commitment for the class of 23, and this is Neo Avery. He's 6'5", 230-pound edge rusher from Maryland. Give us a quick scouting report on him before we get to the early entries.
Yeah, so a little New Year's Eve celebration prior to midnight when they got the commitment from Neo Avery there out of Good Counsel in Maryland. He's a big athlete. And he chose Penn State. He had some good offers out of Ohio State. Georgia was really a main piece there. Notre Dame was in on him. But, yeah, he just felt like he was gravitating towards Coach Franklin and the Penn State staff, and that was where he needed to be. He accredited Landon Tangwell a lot, who was a former teammate of his at Good Counsel, with answering questions and helping, through his process. But, he's a really good player. He's an athlete. He's a big jumbo athlete. Rivals, we have him listed as a defensive lineman or a defensive end. But some other places have him listed as an athlete. Tight end is a possibility. He and the staff really have not determined which way that's going to go. They're going to let it kind of play itself out over the next year or so. Really where I see him fitting is on that defensive side of the ball, because when you're 6'4", 6'5", like he is, he's 225, 230 pounds, like you mentioned. Penn State actually had him in camp, and he ran a 4.58 for them in person. So they see that, that kid with that size, that length, those guys at the next level, college and then on in the NFL, are the ones that really are getting paid when you're getting paid to get after the quarterback. So ultimately, it might be fun catching passes at tight end and things like that, and they're certainly going to have that opportunity to do that. But, the way he plays defense, and he's just getting new to that position, he has a lot of untapped potential there. I think, that's ultimately where he ends up, and because I think that's ultimately where you get the big payday when it comes to the next level.
And we at Penn State have seen several of those type of defensive ends. Most recently, Jason Owe, who has all that talent, all that speed. So those are good footsteps to follow in. All right, Eric, let's get to this 22 class and the folks that are coming in early. I'm going to kind of put them in pairs so we can get through as many as possible. As always, we always start with the quarterback position. Two really good ones in Drew Aller and Bo Pribula. Just how important is it for quarterbacks to get this extra time in there, whether they're going to play as freshmen or not? I would imagine it's critical to get quarterbacks in as early as possible.
Yeah, the quarterback position is certainly one of the key positions that you want to target and have for your mid-year guy, just because all the extra time that they get to be able to spend with the offensive coordinator and the quarterback coach, learning the offense, going through installs, and then even getting a few reps are worth it during spring ball. Obviously Clifford coming back, he's going to be your number one guy heading into spring ball practice. But getting those guys in that room with him, learning from him, taking reps in spring ball practice is going to be huge for their development. And then when you go into the summer, then when the other freshmen are reporting and they already have all that under their belt, and now they're kind of a little bit more seasoned by that point, it really goes a long way. I've seen when I was at Vanderbilt, and other programs obviously have seen, that's why they target the quarterback position, just to help with that maturity, heading into fall camp.
And we don't know as much as Sean Clifford was nicked up this past season. That could happen again. These guys are probably going to be competing with Christian Vaillou for that number two position and potentially get on the field that way. A, a position where it's not unusual for a freshman to get on the field, and a place where I'm expecting them, at least one of these two, to get there in 22, is at running back, where both Nick Singleton and Catron Allen are showing up this month.
Yeah, you're right. It's actually, you know, running back is one of the positions that you could probably see yourself getting on the field a lot earlier than some of the others, because in the end of the game, in the end of the day, you're still just running the ball just like you did in high school. Now, there's going to be some things that you get have to change up. You know, one of the main things that I've seen in the past that will hinder young running backs from seeing the field early is their ability to pass protect. It's not something they're asked to do a lot, obviously, in high school. So how do they translate that? You know, when they get to college, are they willing to put their, we like to say, put their face in the fan, you know, step up and take those oncoming defensive linemen and linebackers as they're coming in for the quarterback? You know, so that's one thing that can maybe hinder him. But I fully expect Singleton to see the field early in his career. He has that type of ability. He has, you know, he's a big-time running back. And so I think, you know, you're going to want to see him. I think you'll see him making plays in the spring, and it'll be hard to keep him down on the depth chart as you head into the fall. And Catron Allen, you know, he just played in the Under Armour All-American game yesterday on ESPN, and he had a good day. He was one of the top performers there. He has a really solid, thick build, which is going to help him when he gets to that next level. So I expect, you know, he might not see the field as much as a Singleton, but he is a very nice back to pair with Singleton, in my opinion. He's always falling forward. He has the ability to get skinny through holes, but he has that solid build below where it's not going to be a huge adjustment for him when you're talking about just the physicality at the next level and what you're expecting.
The running back room was pretty full this past season, but underwhelmed with their performance. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a portal or two player among that group, and it should be wide open for freshmen to come in and get some reps. Next up, Eric, I want to talk about is that receiver, both wide receiver and tight end. You have Caden Saunders, who was coming in early. We've heard a lot about him for quite a while. He was an early commitment to Penn State. Amari Evans, he's the wide receiver from Texas, I believe, who shows a lot of speed, which you always love that. And Jerry Cross, he's the tight end, who's listed at 6'6", 257. Boy, that'd be an interesting target. So, although I think tight end room seems rather full, what's the outlook for these guys?
Yeah, I think we touched on it last week a little bit. I think Saunders has a real chance early. You know, and obviously with the Tinsley commitment and bringing him in, maybe that clouds it up a little bit for Saunders to get on the field early. But Saunders is a competitor. I just think that he has that ability to get on the field early because of his ability to separate, his ability to run routes. He, on film, is very impressive with that. And if you're going to be able to get on the film early or on the field early as a wide receiver at the next level, I think that's really what's going to separate you, is your ability. Once you get on the field, how are you? How's your route running? How is your ability to separate? How are your hands? You know, once you display all those type of things, the coaching staff's going to keep giving you more and more chances, and he does that. You know, you touched on Amari Evans. He's going to be, you know, he's listed as an athlete. Chance he could go to defense. I really think offense is his best spot. You know, he has a very, very good track background with long jump. He's a state long jumper, which I personally love. And he's got speed, straight line speed. So, you know, he has a chance to take the top off. So maybe he cracks in there. And then Jerry Cross is a big body. I think Jerry Cross is probably going to take a little bit more development. I wouldn't expect maybe him to see the field early in his career. I think he's just going to have to, you know, tone up in the weight room, get used to playing a different, you know, it's a step up in ball, competition, more physical, things like that. So I don't necessarily expect him to get on the field early, but it's good for him to get into the program now and start getting that physical development going.
You also mentioned Mitchell Tinsley. He's the transfer from Western Kentucky. Experienced, put numbers up. He's a guy I got to assume is going to be part of that starting three at wide receiver.
Most definitely. You don't make a move like that into the portal without, you know, having some sort of idea that he's going to be one of your top one, two, three receivers, right? So they went and they got him. They knew what they were getting, and that all the expectations should be for him to be on the field early and a lot when he comes into Penn State.
Well, we're all anxious to see that. And again, the wide receiver is that position where we've seen those freshmen who have speed, route running, able to hit the field early. So I wouldn't be surprised, especially Saunders is the guy I'm looking for to play right away. Real interesting, I believe, candidate for playing time is offensive tackle J.B. Nelson. And you and I were talking prior to the segment about how position can determine a lot whether a kid plays or not. An offensive line is tough to see playing time right away when you're coming out of high school. It's physical maturity. It's also understanding the subtle techniques and things that you have to do as an offensive lineman. But Nelson's a little different in that he's a JUCO, so he's played at Lackawanna. He has more experience, plus he's probably more physically mature. Is that your assessment of him?
Yeah, and JB did a really tremendous job in this through the last 6 months or so, really transforming his body and getting ready to go when he gets on campus at Penn State, I think. So anytime, in my opinion, kind of I said it with Tinsley, when you go get those older guys, whether it is JUCO or whether it is out of the transfer portal, yeah, at times you're looking for depth, but you also want guys to come in and contribute. When you're going and using a scholarship on an older prospect, taking that away from a younger developmental prospect, the expectation always should be that they are going to get on the field sooner than later. You know, whether that's at the offensive line position, whether that's being in that top eight, normally that's kind of where you kind of talk about, okay, these are our eight offensive linemen that we can have, you know, going into the season that we feel good about that can always play. So whether he's in that top eight or whether he's able to crack the starting five, the expectations, though, should be that he should be in that fold and in the mix. And so I would look for him to be, trying to contribute early in spring ball, see how that goes. And then as you make the transition into fall camp, where is he at on the depth chart is something certainly to watch.
I called him a tackle. Is that what he's destined for, or might we see him inside?
I think he's more of a tackle body, personally. When I watch his film and when I see his movements and skills, like, I think that he's going to – at least that's where they're going to try him out to start would be my guess, is definitely out on the edge at tackle. He looks comfortable out there. I think he's got the athleticism. I think he's got, you know, the nastiness to him to play out there. I think that's where he should start.
Okay, now let's flip to the other side on defense, because the majority of guys coming in earlier are on the offensive side. And, in fact, you just told me this. I just learned this from you. I had in my list cornerback Cam Miller as being an early entry, but you're telling me the fact is he will not be coming in early, correct?
That's correct. I was talking to some people earlier today, and his name was told to me that he's actually somebody that's not going to be coming in early anymore. So slight change there.
The one guy who is defensive lineman Zane Durant. He's listed at 6'1", 250 pounds. And just like on the offensive line, defense, sometimes guys aren't physically ready. What do you see in Zane Durant?
Yeah, because I love Zane's film. I think he's a great player. I think he's going to have a real chance there at Penn State. I just think he needs to put on some weight. And so I think it's going to be hard for him to come in and put on 25, 30 pounds in the next 6 months and be ready to really contribute. I think it's good to get him in. I think it's good to get that process started early. I think it's good to get him on that defensive line, because as he's going to adjust from playing more on the edge to down playing in the, you know, with his hand in the dirt. And so that's going to be an adjustment. He's got a chance, but realistically, I think it's going to be more about development, and then he's looking more towards 2023 when he really starts seeing the field.
All right, real good, Eric. Just as always, it goes by so fast, but I'm glad we got to every one of the players. That is it for this edition of the show. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.